O God, guide us today in our understanding of the words of Jesus that can jolt us awake in his form of holy shock therapy. Amen. Well, I had to feel a lot of sympathy for Henry today in his reading, but the words of Jesus that he uses on us are sometimes genuinely shocking. Poor Henry Minto read his words from the book of Mark, but he was a little bit trepidatious, and I don't blame him. Because Jesus says, if you put an obstacle in the way of someone's faith, then someone should put a giant rock, a millstone, around your neck and fling you into the Fraser River or whatever. Whew. If your hand causes you to make a big mistake, well, chop it off. Gouge your eye out. If you don't, you'll be thrown into hell, he says. Whoa. But you may know this already. In Jesus' day, it was customary to make one's point by speaking in hyperbole, which is, of course, distorted exaggeration. Gets your attention, though, doesn't it? And it's no wonder that these verses in Mark are thought of as so graphic. I don't think that these verses usually turn up on people's lists of favorite Bible passages. Funny. I mean, besides being gross, this Bible reading seems to recommend violence and self-mutilation. Does this really sound like the gentle Jesus that we think of? Well, as you can imagine, one thing it does do is challenge the practice of biblical literalism. We don't know a lot about that in the United Church typically, but it's something that you may know that the Reverend Maggie recently wrote about publicly, passionately, and eloquently. I don't know if you saw her letter recently in the Richmond News. Very, very well done. As she cleverly illustrated, biblical literalism means that a person believes that literally every single word in the Bible is true and that we are to obey every rule that the Bible dictates. Now, trust me, I used to practice ministry for years in BC's Bible Belt, the Fraser Valley. And I'll tell you right now, if you walked into this one of the strictest, they have many, many churches there, but there are some that are very strict. If you walked into the strictest Bible-believing, meaning biblically literalist, church, where no woman ever wears trousers to Sunday worship, you also might find there men there who never, ever, ever swear. You might even find those who never mow their lawn on a Sunday because they think the Bible says they must not. But you will never find those same people sitting there in that church that believes every word in the Bible is literally true and written by God. You'll never find those people sitting there in their Sunday best, row after row, with eye bandages after gouging their eye out because they sinned with their eye. You'll never find them sitting there in their Sunday suit, sporting bandage-wrapped stumps where their arm used to be, because the Bible told them if they sinned with their arm, they were to cut it off. Therefore, be aware that biblical literalists will only take God's written truth just so far. And who determines that and how and when? Anyway, well, all right then, we've got the biblical reading. If we're not to gouge our eyes out or cut off our arm or foot, then what the heck was Jesus talking about when he said those things? Well, it just seems that Jesus was trying to make the powerful point that we need to take ourselves and our lives very, very seriously. Hyperbole is not always serious, so that's why he said he made that huge contrast. Being followers of Jesus is not a casual thing. Oh, well, sure, it can be a fun thing. It can even be a glorious thing. But it is not a casual thing. As his disciples, we are full of power that we don't even know about. Unrecognized, unrealized power. Our power is like water sitting in a reservoir, waiting to roar over, say, North Vancouver's Cleveland Dam as soon as we pull the plug. Power. And Jesus is begging us, as his disciples, to wake up to this roaring, untapped power. So how does he wake us up today? By presenting us with gory images. Our very horror shows how much we value our wholeness. Well, fine, Jesus says. Do not take me literally, but take me seriously. You each have a soul, he says, that is as precious and lovely as your body. And its wholeness comes first. If we fail to express and share the love that is inside us, then we have actually plugged up that dam of potential power. That power of love, and we've plugged it up forever if we stay that way. When Jesus spoke of hell in that reading, he was trying to say to us that hell is living a wasted existence. But there is an alternative to this hell. And of course, we can stretch out our still attached arms to someone who's maybe in danger of stumbling. That's what we're to do. Stretch out our whole arms to someone who's about to stumble. And that's the way that God keeps us from stumbling. We can use our eyes, unplucked, to gaze with acceptance and warmth at someone we might otherwise turn away from. So if we do that, if we gaze with acceptance and warmth, if we stretch out our arms, what happens? Well, I believe that as we tap into that great reservoir of love power that is dammed up inside of us, God will save us all. Let us pray. Holy God, we give thanks for words that shock us. May we resolve to avoid stumbling blocks and instead strive to travel right around them, expressing and sharing the love and abundant life that you offer us. In Jesus' name. And let us express that love and gratitude in song as we sing, "Bless the Lord." More Voices 46. Well, I don't have an orange shirt to put on today, but next year at this time, I'll do something about that. Because this is the day that we remember that we are worshiping on the unceded land of our First Nations brothers and sisters. And Orange Shirt Day honors the